This week on the Fifth Trooper podcast.
And today I am by myself. That's right.
Welcome to the Fifth Trooper podcast.
Hello and welcome back to another edition of the Fifth Trooper podcast. My name is Jay Schalansky. And today I am by myself. That's right. Evan couldn't make it. He was tied up with some prior engagements. So it'll just be me. On today's cast, I don't know, I'm just going to kind of shoot from the hip on this one. I have some topics I want to talk about, and I just want to be here for you out there in podcast land with my sultry tones and late evening mood. This should go well. So this is interesting. Today I'm actually, because of a series of events, I'm actually recording the podcast on the same day I'm going to put it out. So fun stuff. So all my information will be up to date. I will not have missed anything and things will be going well. First thing, I just want to remind you guys of the sweet, sweet Christmas giveaway up on thefifthtrooper.com/giveaway. That's right. I gave the web address right in the beginning, folks. I know that's different from last year where I waited till our second or third segment to give it away. But guess what? Because I love you guys, you're getting it right now. TheFifthTrooper.com/giveaway. So each week, I'm going to be giving away something different. We got a laser cannon this week, then some snowtroopers, then some scouts, and then a full core set. The laser cannon should be announced tonight. Around 9 o'clock, I believe, is the cutoff for the giveaway. So sign up for that, please. I want you to have something nice because, you know, we enjoy doing the podcast. We're so happy that everybody's listening. And so here I am giving you free stuff just for listening. Tell me what you like about Star Wars Legion on the little giveaway thing. I got some silly questions on there. So just answer a silly question and let us know what you like, what you don't like, blah, 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 blah. Fill out the form and I will randomly pick a person for winning. Actually, I don't even do it. The computer does it. So, you know, computers do everything now. So there's that. I guess the first thing I kind of want to get into is I got a couple notes today for anyone who listened to Scoundrels, Notorious Scoundrels yesterday. They talked about a topic, something that happened at PAX Unplugged, which was we encountered someone that was cheating. And a couple people reached out and asked me if that was true because I helped TO the event. And the answer is yes, it's true. We took care of it where it needed to be taken care of. Luckily, the players that he played were what, you know, knew enough to kind of question some stuff. The reason I haven't mentioned it before is because I wanted to talk about all the good stuff that happened at PAX in our last podcast, which we did. But then also, you know, I knew the Scoundrels were going to bring it up and I figured it could wait for another podcast where we could just talk about that in general. And since it's just me and Evan isn't here and no one can stop me, I'm going to talk about whatever I want tonight. And so, you know, the Scoundrels kind of got into it a little bit. They talked about what had happened. And instead of that, what I'm going to talk about is just kind of self-policing. You know, I think the best thing you can do, and they said this on the Scoundrels, but the best thing you can do is just really, you know, really know the rules well, so that you're not, number one, questioning yourself, right? I think that's the biggest thing, is that when someone, even by mistake, okay, a non-cheater, but just someone by mistake has a rules question or they think a rule goes a certain way. I think sometimes if we're not well versed enough in the rules, I've done this and you're like, that sounds not right, but I don't know for sure right now. So I'm going to let you do that. So what happens is if we know the rules and we know them well enough to be like, no, that's absolutely not true. And I can pull it up in the rules reference. I think that's good. I think the other thing, too, that we need to do is not be afraid to call over a judge. If you feel like something's not right, even maybe they're not cheating, but it's just not right, just call a judge. And, you know, the judge will come over, and that's why they're there. You know, and I think there's some bad juju, I guess, when people think of calling over a judge to talk about, you know, a rules question I don't want to say an argument, but a disagreement that they're having with another player. Like, they think it's bad to call the judge. And I would argue that and say, no, you need to call the judge. That's why they're there. They're there for an unbiased third opinion, really. And it's not like you're tattling on your classmate in school. It's just that you're just asking for a third party to give an unbiased opinion on a situation that looks a little wonky, right? And we all need that. You know, heck, I was, you know, I was at a tournament this past weekend, Saturday, and I had a situation where I was playing a guy that I know and we're friends, and, you know, generally we could have figured it out ourselves, but he saw a line of sight issue one way, I saw it a different way, so we just called an unbiased third party over and said, you call it. Either way, we'll abide to that, and we did. And so I think I'm kind of tying this whole cheating thing into just, you know, for you yourself, we can sit here and talk about cheaters and we can sit here and try to tell them not to cheat, but cheaters cheat, man. That's what they do. And for some reason, people want to use that tactic to get ahead in not just Legion, but in life. But you know what, man? And this is something I would tell anybody, something I would tell a kid, is like, you can't control those other people. You can only control yourself. So best thing you can do is know the rules to the best of your ability. And then if something just doesn't feel right, call a judge and it'll be settled, you know? So yeah, I just want to touch on that. That did happen. And you know, for those of you who are going to be at LVO or Adepticon, don't worry. If this person ends up going to any of those, all the TOs have been forewarned, and it'll be bad, bad news if this person is caught cheating. Quite frankly, I think it'll be bad, bad news if anyone's caught cheating. So if you got it in your head somewhere that you're going to flub a number or flub a thing, don't do it, man. Don't do it, because you're going to get caught and it's going to be bad, bad news for you. Not just from getting kicked out of the tourney, but we are going to bad talk you across all the podcasts. So there, take that, cheaters. So that was the first thing I want to talk about. Just get that out of the way, because I did have a couple questions about that today. So I just want to make sure I addressed it since I was at PAX. Let's see. The next thing I'd like to talk about is, you know, Yavin-based team league. So we're in the middle of that. I think most of the games are wrapping up. My team is still playing. I played mine Sunday night against a really, really cool dude. And, you know, he was a really nice guy. I think I'm trying to remember his handle. It's like Janus Geminis on Discord. And, you know, I had a good time. I ended up losing to points. We tied in. So it was recover the supplies. He was running Leia, two fleet troopers, two or three regular troopers with Z6. And three ATRTs with flamethrowers and then troops and then Leia. I was running Vader, two E-webs, two sniper rifles, two snowtroopers, and three stormtroopers. The snowtroopers had flamethrowers and impact grenades, and then the stormtroopers had DLTs. And, you know, I think there's a video out there. You guys can watch it. It's on the Yavin Base Discord channel. And, you know, so basically what it came down to was, I think for maybe the first 50% to 60% of the game, I was feeling very confident. I felt like I had the whole thing under control. I did some of the things I wanted to do. You know, so basically we had recovered the supplies. We had two on, if you're looking at it from my position on the long edge of the table, we had two in the upper right corner. And then we had the one in the middle. And then we had two on the left bottom corner almost. And so basically, like, the plan was I was going to have him believe I was going for the middle, but not go for the one on the one closest to my deployment zone that I put in. And then the other one was, and we had, I can't think of the name right now, but we had the deployment zone that's in the corners. And so, not the scout one, but the other one. And so, you know, I wanted to distract him and make him think I was going for the one in the middle, which I absolutely wasn't going for. Use a stormtrooper unit to grab the one that was closest to my left side edge. And then use the rest of my army to grab the other two on the other side. Because I saw he was putting his flame troopers up on that side. And so I put Vader, I put the DLTs, I put a sniper unit. Oh, I was running two sniper units too. I put a sniper unit up there. And then, and just basically threw my whole army except for stormtrooper, snowtrooper, and snipers all at those two objectives. And then the plan was I threw a sniper team and had them scout one up. There was like the Mustafar base, Vader's base map in Tabletop Simulator. So I had my sniper units scout up onto the platform. And then the plan was I was going to have my snowtroopers go up there too and kind of flame anybody that came up, and then have my stormtroopers go grab the objective. So that was my original plan. For various reasons, I got distracted and mentally checked out a little bit to my original plan. And instead of throwing my snowtroopers up, I threw my stormtroopers up, sent my snowtroopers over to get the box. And basically what had happened was I captured the other two box, shredded all his ATRTs with Vader and the DLTs. And I had control of that side of the board. I had both the objectives over there, the recover the supplies, both objectives. I had the third objective in my snowtroopers' hands, and they were starting to hightail it back. But the problem was, and I knew this in the beginning, and like I said, I got distracted and kind of thrown off a little bit, was that the snowtroopers weren't going to be fast enough to kind of come back and make it without, you know, anybody that had like a speed two could catch up to them and blast them. So what had happened was I got the objective. I started heading back with them. He came around the corner with some fleet troopers. Now, at this point, I'm like, okay, definitely going to take some damage from those fleet troopers. Okay, they got 10 white, 2 red. You know what? There's probably going to be 4 to 5 hits. Okay. I had a 5-man. So I'm kind of doing the math in my head. I'm like, there's going to be 4 or 5 hits. I got a 5-man snowtrooper. We're going to save maybe 2 to 2. Okay. Let's minimum. So he rolls, he rolled, I believe out of the 12 dice, it was 10. And I think on my saves, so I needed to have at least 9 saves, and I think I got like 8 or 7 or 8. Like it was really close. That math is wrong. So I needed to have, yeah, no, that's right. So I needed to have a bunch of saves. I missed it by like 1 or 2 and wiped out that snowtrooper unit. They dropped the box, of course. So I had both the other boxes. He had the other two boxes. And we went to time. And right towards the end, I had Vader up towards that other box. He had 2 wounds on him. And then another unit of his came in and just shredded Vader. And I rolled ridiculous again on the blocks, which, hey, you know what? I'm not using that as an excuse. It just is what it is. And the funny thing is, maybe the turn or two before that, in my head, I was like, crap, I got to move Vader back because this is going to go to points. I saw the time. I knew what was happening. I'm like, this is going to go to points. I need to move Vader back so he doesn't shred Vader. The only problem with that was that he had Leia, and she started shredding those snowtroopers. And I got a little scared that they were going to lose the other objective. And so I moved Vader up to kind of throw his saber at another unit that was heading up, stop them, and then maybe absorb some of those hits. because I was like, all right, he's got two wounds, right? He can take up to six more. I think I'm going to be fine. And it was just a miscalculation on my point. And he wasn't fine. But, you know, the other thing is I could have dropped that objective too. So I made a ton of mistakes in the game that I shouldn't have made. I was definitely distracted and, you know, it happens. The funny thing is I was coming off this huge high from Saturday because I actually won our tournament locally, and actually one of our listeners came all the way up from Scranton. So Mike, hello, my friend. Good to meet you in person. It was a good game. Good tournament we had on Saturday. And so, you know, I was playing my real list, which I'm going to talk about in a little bit. But, you know, I was riding this high. I was like, oh, man, because I did very well on Saturday. A lot of it was good dice rolls. A lot of it was good planning, but, you know, and a good list. But I was riding a high. And I came into this game going, oh, man, I got this, right? And I just got sloppy, and I didn't stay on top of my game, you know, and that happens, and I paid for it. So we went down, we went to time. He ended up shredding Vader, and I you know, he beat me by, oh gosh, I think by a unit, so like 40, 44 or 50 points, somewhere around there. If you've seen the video, I don't remember. I didn't watch it back. I didn't want to watch myself lose like a clown. I know what mistakes I made. I was there. And I generally don't like watching that stuff back. I lost my match. Both my other teammates, they're up today or tomorrow. So they're going to be playing. We'll see where that goes. You know, if they both win, we're still good. So that's the nice thing about the team match. So the next thing, so I guess we'll talk about the tournament Saturday. Went good. You know, we had four people, so it triggered the event. But man, it was kind of a letdown because we have, so where we play, you know, we're upstate New York, we're in Syracuse. We got the thruway corridor, so it's like Albany, Buffalo, Rochester, Syracuse. And so we've had events where we've had 12 out in Rochester and Buffalo, 14 once. We've had events in here in Syracuse where we've had eight. We had one where we had 10. Like, so we have the player base. And I don't know if it was just an off day or if, you know, I know with the holidays coming, like people are out doing Christmas stuff. So maybe that was what happened, but four people. It was Evan and myself. Like I said, Mike from Scranton, which was awesome of him to come up. And then our other buddy, Nick, and it was good. Evan and Nick are very good players. I got to play both of them, which was nice. And, you know, I did very well. Some of it was a good list. Some of it was good play. And some of it, as if Evan was here, he would tell you, I was rolling ridiculous. Ridiculous. At one point during, so Evan and my game was for first and second. And at one point, he had two ATSTs. So his list was Veers, two ATSTs. I want to say he has, oh gosh, what is the, he has a number of, so he's got, let's see, one, two, three, four, maybe four, maybe, I wish he was here, but he, like four or five stormtroopers with DLTs. Hang on, I can pull this list up here. Okay, so he's running General Veers naked, 1, 2, 3, 4, 5 stormtroopers naked, ATST with mortar launcher, ATST mortar launcher, and then two sniper strike teams. And then I was running, and this is my fun list. Is I'm gonna run Palpatine. So I'm running him, and I got him all decked out. So right now, what you're doing, if you're listening and you're like, Jay's really just kind of not talking. It's because I'm buying time, my friends. I'm looking up on Tabletop Admiral my exact list because I don't have it memorized. And I want everybody in podcast land always wants to know what we're running. So here you go. So I'm running Palpatine. He had Force Push, Force Reflexes, Anger, and Esteemed Leader. 1, 2, 3 Stormtroopers with DLT-19s. 2 Imperial Royal Guards, 2 Scout Troopers, the Strike Team with the Sniper, and 2 E-Webs. And, you know, it's funny, early on in my first game, so I know we've all been talking about the Royal Guards with Pelp, with Grampy Pelps, right? And doing Guardian and sharing the wounds. So it just hit me. It struck me as I was prepping for my first game and I was starting my deployment and I'm reading Guardian and I was like, wait a second. So Guardian's not like Esteemed Leader. Okay. So Esteemed Leader it has Guardian 1, but before it, it says while you are defending, each friendly corpse trooper unit at range 1 gains Guardian 1 core. Okay, so the Royal Guard, they don't have that. So basically the Royal Guard say while a friendly trooper unit at range 1 is in line of sight, you can take up to 2 hit results. So I was like, I was reading the card, it was the first time I played the list, and I was like, oh dude, like I could share wounds across anything. So this was a game changer for me, and it kind of changed my deployment a little bit, like mid game. So I was thinking, well, technically E-Webs are trooper units. So and the Stormtroopers are trooper units. So why don't I use Guardian? To keep, you know, depending on the situation, I now have an option if I'm trying to, let's say it was a recover the supply, or let's say it was something where I needed a Stormtrooper unit to stay alive, I could start sharing the wounds. Because with the Imperial, Imperial Royal Guards, they're 2 wounds each. So that's 6 wounds you have at your back and call, basically, with the Guardian 2. So if I want to keep the E-Web alive, or if I want to keep a Stormtrooper unit alive, Guardian 2 with my imps and start sharing some of the wounds. And so that's what I did. And so I ended up extending the life of the E-Webs. I ended up, and we had intercept the transmissions. And so, like, I had the 2 E-Webs kind of watching the middle transmission. And I just kind of shared the wounds. And so if he went after the E-Web to try to destroy the E-Web, I'm like, oh, I'm going to Guardian 2. And it's up to 2, so you can choose to do 1. And then I did it with both my units because they were both within 1. And, you know, luckily I rolled blocks. But even if I didn't and I got wounds, it would have been okay. So it just, like, struck me. You know, I don't know. You know, you ever have that, like, epiphany moment when you're playing and you're like, oh, shoot, like, I can do this. Like, oh, man. So it was just something I had never even anticipated or thought of before, and it just struck me, like, right in the middle of play. So that was really good, and the list is mean. It is so mean. And then I threw, you know, I know a lot of you probably heard me say Esteemed Leader on Pelp, and the reason was because I was like, okay, what if the Royal Guard aren't there, and I need Pelp to stay alive? Well, I got Esteemed Leader too, right? So I had 5 points. I was like, yeah, screw it. I'll throw it on there, you know? And then I threw it. I like the anger on him because you start getting crazy. If you get his 1 pip Adam Bomb off, and now you will die, he can suffer a wound to gain gain a suppression to perform an attack. And he can do that any number of times. So if you... And they gain an immobilized token. So if you do that and you have anger, you're gaining those aim tokens for the next one. So that's why I put it on them. It's a really mean list. Like I said, the first guy was running Rebels. He ran Han, Leia, I think Han Leia. I'm trying to remember. Han Leia, a couple of cores with Z6, three snipers, and three of the laser cannons. It's a crazy list. And I, you know, my list did really well against it. Granted, there was, you know, I mean, listen, there's always dice rolls and stuff like that, but I did really well. And then playing Evan with the ATSTs, I did really well against that. But Evan will tell you, like, so basically what happened was I had intercept the transmissions on both. It was crazy. They weren't even my cards. I was red player on both ones. But basically with Evan, you know, I had sufficient cover with everybody in line of sight from the ATST. So he wasn't able to shoot a lot. But then what happened was by turn three-ish, I started to notice that, like, I hadn't taken hardly any wounds at all with my units. And we were running time. And so I was like, you know what? I can just go now. Because even if the ATSTs rolled really hot and I started rolling cold, I had my full army. I still had 10 activations-ish. You know, I think I had one sniper down. And so, like, I was like, you know what? I'm just going to run them out there and hold that. We got this much time. I think it was like 15 minutes or something like that, or 20 minutes maybe. Like, we got 20 minutes left. We got this many rounds left. They can survive that many rounds. And then I just started decimating his forces. And really all he had left was the ATSTs and Veers. And one sniper. And so I was rolling really hot, don't get me wrong. And Evan was rolling kind of cold. But, you know, I think that's just something situationally that you can be aware of. Like, okay, here's the time I have left. Here's how many rounds are left. Here's what's happening right now. Here's how many units I have left. This is what I can afford to lose. And it just turned up aces for good old Jay here. So it was good. So that was Saturday. But yeah, I really like the Guardian 2 on those on the guards, the Crayola guards there. I like using that. Like, I was thinking about that with the E-webs. I'm like, holy crap. I can share the wounds. I can maybe get some other blocks off. Like, it's situational. So I know some of you are like, why are you doing that? But it worked for me in my particular game to help keep certain units alive, right? And it may not be every game, but the two games I played, it worked very, very well. I did not get, so both games were over basically before I could play And Now You Will Die, the Pelp one pip. So I didn't really get to play it. I almost did on one, but it was kind of like, I don't know, the game was kind of coming to an end. So we didn't really, you know, I didn't get to play it. But you know, it was interesting and fun and I wanted to play it. Let's see, the other thing, like, you know what? Like, frag grenades, man, those suck. They're not as good, as I had originally thought they were going to be. I was not playing frag grenades, but, I don't know. I think we had talked at one point, Evan and I, about how we thought frag grenades were pretty good, but I would say just a recommendation from what I'm seeing across. I've seen some more armor come back, and it's not necessarily, I know, like, a lot of people would say it's not in the meta, but I don't know that there is necessarily a meta right now because of all the new units coming out. So I think the meta's all over the place. But I have noticed that people are playing ATRTs again. People are playing ATSTs again because we're getting these cheaper units like snipers and E-webs that we can throw together. And so now we could still get potentially 10 activations and still have a higher price model on the board. I think keeping in mind impact, if you're building a list right now to go play at a tournament, or if you're going to come to LVO or Adepticon, and it's hard for Rebels, I know, but just keep impact in mind. I think one of the things we've talked about this before is, but like when you're building your list, like try to look at your list and be like, okay, what can I answer here? Can I answer Luke? Can I answer Vader? Can I answer, armor? Can I answer snipers? Like, what do I need to do to make answers to all of this? And don't leave armor out. I think impact is good. And at a minimum, especially like on snowtroopers or stormtroopers, impact grenades, 5 black or, 6 or 4, depending on what you're running. It's so good. So, I think that is the way to go. I don't necessarily think those frag grenades are good. I get the lure of them because they're red and they switch surge to crits, but you're rolling surge, a third of the time, maybe. You have one, not even. So they're not great, so I don't know if you want to waste your time on those. I would stick to impact. They're good. They're a good everyman, grenade. But yeah, so there's that. Trying to think, talking about like kind of getting prepped and for moving on, this is something I've been talking to a lot of people about, like is how do you kind of separate teaching moments in while you're gaming and actually like gaming. So what I guess what I'm getting to is what I find a lot of the times is any tournament, any type of games that you play, sometimes you get new people, sometimes you get people who don't understand the rules or misunderstand a rule. And I find myself like being like, hey man, nope, that's not how that's played. Do you want to do that over? Or are you sure you want to do that? Like, and I don't know if that's good or bad, so I'm going to leave that up to you guys to think about. So like for instance is, if I saw somebody playing a command card that I knew they couldn't play because of, let's say, condition cards. So let's, for instance, maximum firepower and we have limited visibility. Like, depending on the tournament, depending on the situation, I'll be like, whoa. I'm like, are you sure you want to do that? And they're like, well, what do you mean? And I'm like, well, it's limited visibility. And, I don't know that that's the right thing to do, but my thought in my head is I don't want to win on technicalities or like missteps. So if I see a real misstep that someone could take back, I have a tendency to let them take it back just because I want to be a good sport, number one, and I want to win the right way. And I'm not saying it's the wrong way, because I know a lot of you are going to get upset and be like, well, they made the mistake. Like, they should know their list. They should know the objectives. I agree with all of that. But I guess my thought is more of, I love this game. I love this community. I want more people as passionate as I am about this game and about this community. And I don't know if you out there have ever had a terrible, terrible loss, but good Lord, it doesn't feel good, And so I think we need to kind of, I don't think I'll do it in like highly competitive situations like an LVO or an Adepticon, but everywhere else, I would rather help. It's going to sound a little hippie here, hippy dippy, but I would rather help my fellow man, get him excited about Legion and not walk away going, I'm so stupid. I made all these mistakes. I wouldn't have lost if I had made these mistakes. And instead go, I had a great time. This dude helped me out a lot. I like this game. I like this community. I'm going to move forward. And so the reason I bring this up is because I like doing that, but what I've noticed is it does is it distracts me. And so what I do is I think we all do this when we're playing competitively, I think for the most part, let me backtrack that a little bit. So I think we try to anticipate what our opponent's going to do, but really you're focused on your list, right? And then you try to anticipate what move they're going to make, and then you make your move. But really, you should be playing so that they have to make their moves around you, right? But that may not always be the case. So what I guess I'm trying to say is that, like, when I'm trying to help somebody, like, doing these teachable moments, is what happens is instead of just teaching in that moment and teaching that particular move or that particular mistake, whatever happened there, I have a tendency to then, in my head, and this is my own problem, but I have a tendency to then start playing their list. You know what I mean? In my head. And like trying to make sure they don't make any more mistakes. And I think that may be where I make my mistakes, because then I get distracted and I'm not paying attention to my list. And so, you know, it's just an interesting thing. I just wanted to bring it up on here because I wanted to hear what like everybody out there thought as far as this goes. Like, you know, what you're listen, and I'm sure it's going to be all over the it's going to be all over here. Some of you are going to be like, I don't help anybody. It's a competition. It's war. Like, just kill those rebels. And some of you, you know, are going to agree with me, but I think it's just an interesting kind of topic and thought to chase down. And like for me, I'm in this transition period going from, I mean, listen, I was going to say casual, but like I have a friggin' podcast on this game, so it's not that casual, but more of a casual play style into a competitive play style, you know, because I want to go to LVO and Adepticon, or I am going to those, not want to, I want to, but I'm also going. And I want to do well, you know, I would love to get an invite. And so, but in order to do that, it's a different kind of hat that we have to put on, you know, game face, to be super competitive. And I was trying to think like where this related in my life before, maybe where other people can relate to this in life. And it's almost like, going from junior league baseball to like high school baseball or, you know, a more competitive version of baseball, because in like junior league baseball, you're playing against your neighbors, you're playing against your friends from school, you know, your best friend could be on a different team. And so it's a little bit more like, yeah, I'm playing to win, but I'm also playing to have fun. Like, you know, that's my buddy who's pitching against me right now, or like I come up to bat and the catcher is my best friend and I'm like, hey man, what's up, blah, 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 blah. And you know, you're just kind of talking and having a good time, and it's still competitive to a degree, maybe more for the parents and coaches, but the kids are more just having a good time. And going from that to then going to like high school or college ball, where you're, you know, it's very serious, you're trying to get scholarships, you're basically, you know, it, as like a kind of a similar thing is like going, trying to get an invite to the big show for Legion is like trying to get recruited by a college or a major league team, right? Like you're trying to get into the big leagues. And so it becomes way more competitive and serious. And I think as a kid, it's easier to transition from into those two things. And sometimes it's harder, you know, to get that competitive edge and stuff. And so I was just kind of using that as an analogy, because like right now I feel like I'm in that in-between spot where I want to win, don't get me wrong, but I'm also pretty casual about stuff. And I find myself like, if someone's like, hey, it's, do I have a line of something? I'm like, yeah, sure, if you see it, instead of like questioning it. Like if I think it's completely not line of sight, you know, or I'm like, I don't know, instead of questioning it, I'll just be like, yeah, that's fine, you know. And I gotta stop doing that, especially if I want to win anything at LVO and Adepticon. But it's just kind of, it's a weird kind of question, I guess, soul searching, right? To what type of person are you? You know, are you a hyper competitive person? And can that fit in with more of a casual, laid back style? And so it's just a weird soul searchy thing, I guess, that I'm doing right now. And I'm trying to transition to more competitive. And I don't necessarily think that being competitive means you need to be a jerk. You know, it just means that you need to be on top of your game. You got to know the rules. You got to, if things look wrong, you got to question them. If, you know, and you just got to be more aggressive with your play style, with how you, and you have to kind of turn off the fact that, like, you may like this guy, sitting across, or girls sitting across from you, and they may be really cool and you guys had a good time, but then you got to get your game face on, you know, and you got to go for the throat when you're playing and really try to win. And, you know, so I don't know, sometimes I have trouble transitioning that and going, nope, game face. But, and then, you know, part of my brain's like, no, oh, but you're such a nice guy. And I know, you know, I know, I'm sure other people are having trouble with that. I'm sure some people aren't having any trouble with that. I'm sure some people are just don't care and they're just happy, you know, with winning. But, you know, I like to talk to people. I like to get to know them. And then when I do, it seems I become friendly with them. And then I don't feel as good about beating them, you know, except for Evan. I really like beating him. Just kidding, Evan, buddy, pale. Let's see. So that's the, oh yeah. You know, I think we've talked about this before, but like, I just want to bring up, this is something I'm trying to do too. And actually, if anybody wants to reach out to me on the Legion Discord channel, I want to get in more games on Tabletop Simulator. I think barring going to a store or like meeting up at a huge event, like I think it's the best thing we got to practice and get prepared for these upcoming tournaments. And so what I would say is, one, I'd highly recommend, if you haven't, get Tabletop Simulator on Steam. It's pretty cheap. Get the Legion add-on, and then, you know, get some games in. And what I was going to say was, actually, if anybody on here is listening, if you want to look me up on the Discord channel. So my username is Dr. Brainbot. That's brain, like the thing in your head, bot, B-O-T. And then I think my number is number 2275. I'm also a fifth trooper in the Legion community. And so you can always just hit me up there. I'd love to get a game in and play online and just get some practice in. So if anybody listening wants to hit me up, I'd love to get some practice in. I think we should be playing, you know, I try to play once a week in real life. And I think with this being right at your home and just, you know, at your fingertips, like I think it's an easy thing to get in another game. And so I'd love to get 2-3 games in a week. I just need to practice and get used to my list and just play. So, you know, I highly recommend you do that as well. And go ahead and look me up on Discord and we'll try to get a game going. Yeah, so I'm trying to think. So I was threw up a post on the Legion Facebook, just trying to figure out what everybody's favorite troops are right now. So I was pretty hot on snowtroopers for a while there. I still am. I get it. But there's, I don't know, man. That one speed has been killing me lately. And, you know, you really got to pay attention to it. You know, and their movement and getting them in good positions. It's just really, really interesting how my tastes and thoughts have really changed on trooper units. The guards are so good. And I've been really, really loving those. Granted, I've only played a few times with them, and I'm hoping to play some more. But I think they're good, man. And I don't know. They got the good gun there. They got the whole thing is good. I like that they shoot 2 black, 1 to 2. That was actually super useful. The melee thing, yeah, I get it. But the problem is with the guards, and I think it's going to happen with the Wookiees too, because they are melee units that specialize in the up close combat. Like, a lot of people are aiming for them, and they're a new unit. That seems to be a big thing too. Like, any new unit you put out on the table, people are going to just start lighting up because they're scared of it, because they don't understand it. They haven't seen it played yet, so they're just trying to like get it off the table so they don't have to deal with it. And actually, you know, that's a good segue, I guess, for me, is that talking about tactics and actually using that to your advantage. So like, one of the things I've kind of come to terms with is using my snipers as almost like a distraction for their snipers. And what I mean by that is, like, okay, let's say their snipers don't shoot at your snipers round one. Well, you just start shooting at their snipers with yours. Then they feel sometimes, you know, the right player feels obligated to shoot back at your snipers to try to get them off the board. And then you end up opening up like two turns for the rest of your units to kind of get into place and do, you know, do what they do best. And so I would say that too with, I mean, you got to be careful because the Royal Guard are a little bit more pricey, right? But I think you could do the same thing with them where you use them more of a distraction or a target, quote unquote, and then you have kind of some other things in your mind on what your other units need to achieve as far as your objective goals on that battlefield. It's just an interesting way of looking at things, you know, because I think our tendency is try to preserve every unit, try to like keep them alive until the very end. And so part of me is wondering lately, who can I use for cannon fodder as a distraction and, you know, to allow myself that open space to do what I want as far as my, you know, as far as my planning goes for how to take the objectives and ultimately win the game. And so, you know, just been thinking about that a lot and different tactics that maybe people aren't going to see out there, you know, and it's interesting, you know, to think about and how we can utilize each unit. And then as new units come out, how other units become less important or different maybe, right? Maybe you have a different play style. But yeah, so, and then the other thing, too, in that vein, I like Palpatine, but I really like Vader too. Like, so I played Vader in the team league and I'm just like, man, I miss you. I miss you, Vader. I just miss you so much, guy. He's just so good. So good. And I don't know. I just thought, I don't know. I'm like back and forth between Vader and Palpatine. I mean, they're both good in their own ways, but Vader is just such a mean machine. Palp is more of like, and maybe this is just me, but like my style was to kind of hold him back a little bit more. And, cause really you want to get to that atom bomb. He's got good health and, you know, his courage is off the charts. You know, he's got the 5 health and he's got the 4 courage. But like, he feels more squishy, and he is, you know, than Vader. Vader's 8 wounds and he's 5, or 8 health and 5 health. But at the same time, he surges on both. He rolls red dice. When he does get within 1 to 2, you know, he's doing 2 red, 2 black, 2 white, where Vader 1 to 2 is 3 red. He has pierce 2, suppressive. Those are both good. But gosh darn, is Vader good. And Vader's a really good answer for impact too, for armor. And I don't know. So anyways, you just heard me. This is basically what I do all day when I'm looking at my list. It's funny because I have a podcast, so I'm talking, you know, all the time. But like, I'm literally just sitting in front of my computer talking to myself about who should be on my list. And just going back and forth going, ah, I really like Vader. And then I'm like, I really like Palpatine. But that's, I guess that's the art of building a list, right? Is that we have to kind of make sacrifices and have a little foresight into what is coming and what we could potentially face. I'm almost thinking like, do I bring 2 lists? And I think Notorious Scoundrels talked about this. Going to an event, taking a look at what terrain's been set up, maybe even talking around, see what other players are playing, see what the meta is at that time. And then maybe bring in 2 lists you know, or adjustments to one list and then making a game time decision on your list. So part of me wonders, does it make sense to have a list with Vader and then a list with Palpatine and then kind of see the layout of the terrain when I get to the show and then making a last minute call right before I start playing. The problem with that, though, is practice, right? You want to get enough practice in with the list so you know your list backwards and forwards. And that's something I always struggle with because I'm always like doing exactly what I'm doing right now while you guys are listening, which is going, you know, teeter-tottering back and forth on Vader versus Palpatine or this versus that. And so that's always a thing I got to watch out for. But yeah, you know, excited about, a little nervous coming up. We got some big tournaments. LVO is going to be ridiculous. It's going to be the who's who of Legion. So I'm really looking forward to that. I love meeting everybody. PAX was amazing to meet everybody in person that I met. And I'm sure that same thing's going to happen at LVO again. So I'm jacked about that. But at the same time, like we have this, this juggernaut of a maze of coming for us, you know, that we got to get through. And we're talking like an all day event for Legion on that Friday, and four rounds. Plus if you get in the top 12, it's a fifth round to get to the top six to get an invite. Oof, it's going to be a long day. And, you know, just keeping up that energy and that mental fortitude to keep playing is going to be interesting, you know, for everybody, I think. So those are coming up. So I've been looking at that. Got some tournaments in the meantime to look forward to kind of get some warm up in. And then got the Yavin Base Team League, which has been going really well. You know, it sounds like everybody's having a good time. Most of the games are being broadcast on Twitch and stuff, live streams. So you guys can, and they're recorded, so you can go check those out and see some of the best players around playing, you know, that we know of. I'm sure there's some savant out there somewhere that we don't know of that's playing super good, and they're going to come clean us all up at Vegas. So there's that stuff. You know, I think the other thing is talking about, oh yeah, so I wanted to talk about at Adepticon, they had some interesting wording around models. So they want three colors. And then they have a what you see is what you get model policy, which I interpret as, you know, whatever is in the box when you put the model together. So I'm really, really, really wondering about some of you guys out there who've put together some brilliant, brilliant looking models, and if they're gonna, you know, how bad it's gonna get with altercations or line of sight with terrain on your base. These are concerns, you know. Going over the base with some of your terrain. How does that alter gameplay? How does that alter how a judge would call a situation? Like, a lot of these are super interesting kind of thoughts for Adepticon and for how the hobby aspect kind of converges with the game as well. So, you know, so that's interesting, putting a lot of thought into that. We might have an episode about that, just talking about cool modifications and stuff and how legal they are. But yeah, so anyways, I think we're at about time. This was I hope this was as strange and odd for you as it was for me. Basically just sitting here staring at a wall talking to you, and you're not talking back. Shame on you. Some things to remember, just once again, the giveaway. You know, I'm really excited about that. I want to give you guys free stuff. Thanks for listening, type of deal. Fifth Trooper, thefifthtrooper.com/giveaway. That's where you can get all that. We will be here next week. Well, hopefully we. If not, just me, yours truly. I'll be here next week. doing another cast. And then, you know, once again, if you want to catch me on the Discord channel, if you want to get a tabletop simulator game in, I'd love to do that. Need the practice. And maybe we can stream it or something and put it up on our YouTube channel, or, you know, have Yavin Base put it up, stream it on Twitch or something. That'd be fun. And then, you know, send us any questions that you have or anything you know, maybe you'd like to hear us talk about, the Fifth Trooper Podcast at gmail.com. We'd love to hear from you. You could send us a note, anything, you know, you've been kind of hoping we would talk about and we haven't yet. And that's it. So thanks for listening again, guys. I had fun talking to myself like a crazy person. And we will see you next week. Thanks, everybody.
Join us next week for another edition of the Fifth Trooper Podcast.
This has been a Fifth Trooper production.